roll call. We'll now take a verbal roll call. President Delmore,
Here.
Vice President Simon,
Here.
Secretary Abrahamian, excused absence, Board Member Latimer Burris,
Here.
Alder Miadze,
Present.
Board Member Strozier, Board Member Callisto,
Here.
Board Member
Sorry about that.
Witinski.
Here.
Witinski here. Right?
Witinski, thank you for
Yes,
that.
right. Sir, thank you.
Chair, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. First item is approval of last month's minutes. Do we have a motion to approve?
I move approval.
Okay, do we have a second?
A
Second.
second.
Okay, Charles seconds. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, any objection? Hearing none, they are approved. Jody, do we have any public comments?
We did have a registrant online. Valerie Utaski from District 10 has registered under the Public Info Monthly Highlight, Agenda Item 10. I do not see her in the waiting room, or we do not have anyone called in yet. So I will just report that at this time.
Okay, thank you. If I may extend a welcome to our newest board member, and Kurt, please correct me if I mispronounce your last name, Kurt Wyszynski. Kurt joins us this month after being approved by the council. Kurt, when we meet in person, in January, we'll have an opportunity for other board members to introduce themselves to you. Kurt, would you like to share a little bit of your background?
Sure. Hi, everyone, and I'm happy to be here and thank you for the welcome, Pat. I retired in 2022 after 35 years working for the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, where I served as in various capacities, including legal counsel, chief lobbyist, and then eventually deputy executive director. So I've been involved in local government my entire professional career, and it's I feel like I'm at a home here on the utility board. And I know several of the members of the utility board already and some of the staff. And I'm happy to be here. Personally, I've lived in Madison since I think 85 or 86. My wife and I live on the near west side off of Midvale Boulevard. We're in the Westmoreland neighborhood, if you know where that is. And we raised two sons who went through Madison schools and now are pursuing PhDs, one's at University of Illinois, one's at the University of Michigan.
Okay. Well, welcome, Kurt. Good to have you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any disclosures or recusals? Hearing and seeing none, we will move to our first order of business, and that is commending Joe on his impending retirement. And Joe, before we read through the commendation, I would like to say, Joe, that I appreciate having you in your position on the utility. You're the first person in which I had an extended conversation when I joined the board. You took me and another staff member out to Well 30 and gave us an orientation on the functions of the well and so forth. Also, in my tenure on the board, I was always struck by how friendly, positive, and knowledgeable you have been. Also, your commitment to your work and your always willing to be helpful. So, Joe, I really appreciate that quality, and you will be missed as a person we see each month and giving a report. Krishna, I think. traditionally, we read through the commendation, and so I'll go through that. So this is in appreciation for Joe DeMorte, water supply manager, on his retirement from the utility after 16 years of service, in addition to 15 years of previous service with the city of Madison as a hydrologist. He was hired by the engineering division in 1993. He also did a three-year stint with British Petroleum, in which he worked on oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico. And Joe earned his bachelor's degree at Bemidji State in geology and geography, and then a master's at Texas A&M, where his thesis was on rock glacier hydrology and water quality. Also, during his time in the engineering division, he maintained an excellent working relationship with the Department of Natural Resources during major investment projects valued at more than $40 million for a city-closed landfill site. Also, in his capacity as the city hydrologist, he led pump tests of municipal wells 16, 17, 18, and whereas Joe reluctantly transferred to the water utility after 15 years with the engineering division, and only after the interim water utility manager and city engineer enticed Joe by offering him a city vehicle that would be personally used, which would be assigned to him, which he continued to drive throughout his tenure with the utility. And whereas Joe served as the utility water supply manager since 2008, and whereas during his tenure with the utility, he was a tireless advocate for the implementation of variable frequency drives on nearly all of the utility pump motors, which made possible increase numbers from 2 in 2008 to over 30 today. And whereas Joe has guided the effort to modernize and automate the utility's SCADA data system, including a transition from radio communication to more efficient fiber optic communication and flow meters on inlets and outlet pipes to water utility tanks, and improved the chemical leak detection system and made other large improvements and promoted strong cybersecurity measures. Whereas more recently, Joe has spearheaded water supply resiliency projects to facilitate transfers between areas of excess and areas of deficiency, building flexible systems operation, and delaying the need for more costly supply systems. Also, whereas Joe has been an integral member of the emergency response planning teams of the utility, city, and Dane County, and has been an advocate for sustainability and the addition of solar panels on utility buildings. And now, whereas, be it resolved that the Water Utility Board hereby commends and thanks Joe for his years of dedicated service to the utility and the city of Madison. So thank you very much, Joe. Krishna, comments? Yes.
Of course, every item that I bring to the board, I bring it with joy and pleasure and pride. This one, I was very unhappy to bring, but I was honoring Joe's need to retire at some point. You know, he can only serve us for so long. So I was kind of devastated when he announced it to me, but I was able to reconcile with that. You know, we will lose an eminent, gifted hydrogeologist for sure, and all his years of wisdom and expertise. But I think I have parallelly discussed with him his retirement plans. I feel very happy for him that he's able to pursue all his bucket list With that, I will turn to the other board members if they have any comments.
Okay. Let's see, Deb, or Charles.
Yeah, I just want to congratulate him as well. As an alder that has a lot of meetings, public meetings, I've always loved the fact that he's come out and did a very good job as far as his knowledge of all about water utility and its process, and a lot of the convoluted issues surrounding that. So I just wanted to definitely wish him a happy retirement, and hopefully, you know, retention of knowledge is important, you know, and being able to give that to somebody else so that we continue to have clean water and access to so everybody have that, it's important. So I just want to also wish him well, and thank you so much for your years of service to water utility.
Okay, thank you. Deb?
I'd just like to wish Joe well, and also say that I also enjoyed working with him and all his knowledge in these 6 years that I've been on the board. And I'll also mention that retirement's really nice. So I think you made a good decision. You'll miss people. You'll miss a lot about it, but there's a lot of other things to do too. So good luck, Joe.
Okay. Thank you. Right. Ronisha?
I'm going to be, okay, now I'm seeing. I'm going to be short and sweet. I just want to say thank you so much, Joe. Mm-hmm. Thank you for answering all of our weird questions over the years. I really appreciate it. And my hope is that you will entertain a few questions in your retirement until we catch up to speed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Other comments? Again, thank you very much, Joe, for your service to the utility. And I think that you'll be continuing on for a month or so before your official retirement does begin. So thank you.
Pat, how about Joe? Let's roast Joe a bit. Oh. How about Joe? Joe sharing his thoughts. Joe, please.
Thank you all. It's very kind. I want to thank you, Krishna, Joji, and Jody for putting together this resolution, accommodating my years of service to the city and subsequent retirement. Although it's very humbling to see 30-some years on one single piece of paper. but it was good. Thank you for doing that. I would just like to say, and I'll be real brief, I do feel really blessed to have had the opportunity to work for the city and the water utility for so many years. I truly have loved my job, especially here at Water. And I mean, where else can you have really deep holes and work with big pumps and motors and lots of pipe and stuff? So I do truly like that kind of stuff. And the people here have been really, really good. I don't think I've ever experienced a bad board member either. So you guys are all great. I guess just to end, I'm just proud that we've been able to deliver, you know, a life-sustaining product like water to so many folks. And it's truly, there are times when I'm amazed that our system works as well as it does, because there's a lot of band-aids out there. And but it's getting much better. The system is getting good. So it's getting better. Like I said, 30 years have come and gone. I think of all the things I've really done here or been involved with, this automation of the system is probably my number one priority. And I think we've come a long way in that. As mentioned in the resolution, we used to use radios, and it was not good. There were times when we didn't have any communication with a bunch of our sites, and it was bad. Now with the fiber optics, a lot less downtime, and everything is instantaneous. It's been wonderful. When I got there in 2008, when I got the water, we didn't really have a SCADA system per se too much. And a consultant had been hired to recommend the system for us. And it was like $1 million to implement the system back then. And instead we went with some software called Wonderware. There was a gal down in the billing office who'd run around with a cape on and sing Wonderware songs at that time. But we actually went to this Wonderware, and we had, I think it was 36 Dell computers, laptops we purchased. one for each site, and then two for our main site here at the water utility. And to this day, that system is still working wonderful, and it probably cost $100,000 compared to the million that this consultant had recommended. So I think that was, you know, good money for us, and it's worked great. So hopefully it'll just get better. Anyways, thank you all very much. I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. The next item is one listed as proposed water resources section. And Krishna, are you presenting on this?
Yes. Thank you, Pat. Am I on? Let me check. Yes, I am. So staff is proposing to combine the water quality and water supply sections of the matters of the utility into a combined water resources section. As you can imagine, this is stemming out of Joe D's decision to opt for retirement. And so that gave us an opportunity to kind of think in these terms. The new section that we are proposing to create will be led by the other Joe that we have, Joe Granty, and in his new capacity as a new water resources manager. This transition will be effective October 27th, in a few days from now, and City's Human Resources Department has approved this transition. And Joe D will be with us for another month or so, so that both the Joes can exchange notes and trade secrets, which they have already started doing. So that I'm very pleased to see that is happening, and that will continue to happen till November 22nd, which would be the last day Joe D will be in the office. So, getting both the sections into one section has numerous benefits, which I listed in the memo. I won't repeat it, but I'll be happy to answer any questions the board members may have.
Okay. Let's start with any questions people may have. Eric?
Krishna, if you could just give a quick summary. I know you talked about the cost savings in this, and you and I had a quick email exchange, but just for the audience to indicate what the cost savings are. We don't have to go into details about salaries, but the concept.
Sure. Combining two positions into one results in tremendous savings. And Joe G's position would get a pay increase to commensurate with the additional responsibilities that he's required to have, which is very minimal compared to the savings from combining two positions. Considerable savings.
Okay. Any other questions? Do we have a motion to approve?
I'll move.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. We have a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please respond by saying aye.
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 Any nays? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Mr. President, have a humble recommendation. I think the public registrant just signed in. If that is the case, after verifying, we could jump to the public information report so that they don't have to wait. But let's make sure. Jody, could you confirm if that is the person who just signed in?
Okay.
I see only the number.
Yeah.
You could.
It's not allowing me to unmute the telephone.
They did.
Okay. Hello. telephone number 608-473-9832. Could you please identify yourself?
Valerie Utaski.
Hi, Valerie. Thank you. We had you registered under agenda item 10, Public Information Monthly Highlight. We would like to go ahead and jump to that item now so that you don't have to wait. So if you would like to give your comment now, I'm going to turn it back over to our president, Delmore.
Okay.
I didn't really have a comment, so I'm just here to listen. I tried to get in on Zoom and the link wasn't working, so I found my way through the voice call.
Thank you.
Okay, and it sounds like our person wishes to listen. Jody, is that your understanding as well?
Yes.
Okay, then let's go back to our agenda item. And I believe we are on the water quality report. Joe G, are you doing the presentation?
I believe I am. All right. First, I'd like to personally welcome Kurt to the board. It's nice to see you, Kurt, and I'm happy that you're serving with us.
Thanks, Joe. It's nice to be here.
Yeah. So jumping right into my report, I just want to remind the board that this is a semi-annual report that gets presented in April and October each year. There is a memo, and the memo essentially reports on the number of tests that were conducted from January 1 through September 30th of this year. During that period, we've tested over 23,000 tests. A little over 10% of those tests are for safety from acute illness. So those would be the bacteria tests, the total coliform and E. coli. The remaining 90% or so are the chemical tests that indicate the quality and safety of our water. And just want to note that there, again, were no reportable violations for any of these water quality tests. In addition to the memo, there are two attachments, and I will walk through the first one, attachment A, just as a reminder for board members and then also for our newest board member. This first item or this first attachment is the board mandated water quality watch list, which identifies any contaminant that tests at greater than 50% of the MCL, which is the maximum contaminant level, or 50% of the secondary standard, the secondary MCL. And you'll note in the top portion, well, let me just take a step back. The MCL, these are primary standards or health-based standards, and the SMCL is a secondary standard, or it's a guideline for aesthetic quality. So things like taste, odor, or appearance of the water. In that topmost portion of this attachment, this shows those primary contaminants, and what we note is that there are five wells, each that have one primary contaminant that's above that 50% of the MCL. And I'd also point out that none of them exceed the MCL. Again, no monitoring violations or water quality violations. In the middle portion of the table, it's showing those contaminants in which those secondary contaminants, those are for the aesthetic quality. And again, indicating those wells that are above 50% of that secondary standard. And in most cases, these wells, it's either iron, manganese, or a combination of both iron and manganese. And then the other wells would be those that are primarily impacted by sodium. although well 14 does show the impact of both sodium and chloride being greater than 50% of the MCL. On the very bottom of this attachment are two wells that are identified as inactive, and these wells have been taken out of service and have been out of service primarily because of water quality issues. Well 18 for iron and manganese, and well 15 for PFAS, PFOA, PFOS, and PFHXS. And as the board is aware, we are currently in the process of installing PFAS treatment at that well 15.
Joe,
The
if I may, Joe, if I
I'm
may,
sorry.
I think
Go ahead.
Board Member Callisto has a question.
Oh,
Sorry.
thank you. I didn't see that. Go ahead.
Whoops.
Thank you. And thanks. I just wanted to catch you on these tables before you go to the next one. Joe, the numbers you have here, mostly ones and then twos, is that the number of tests where they exceeded the limit, or is that something else?
It's the number of contaminants in that category. So, for example, if we look at the very top of the table, well six, and there's the one in the column for 50 to 80% of the MCL, at well six, it's one contaminant, and that contaminant is PFHXS, and that PFHXS is shown in the final column. So then, if you scroll down to the middle portion of the table, and you look at well 27, where it says two in the column for 50 to 80% of the secondary MCL. Again, go to the rightmost column, and it identifies iron and manganese as those two contaminants that are within that range of 50 to 80% of the SMCL. And the testing at well six, for example, is based on two annual samples. Which is how often we test for PFAS currently. And then at well 27, that's based on monthly testing. So for the period from January to September, we would have nine test results. And the average of those puts them in that 50 to 80% category.
Okay, yeah, I was a little confused by the data. I thought these were singular test results, which made it seem like a de minimis issue. But I think what you're saying is essentially these wells are in these categories whenever they're running. Is that effectively a fair conclusion?
Yes, that's yes.
Okay. Is any of that different than what we've seen in prior iterations of this report? That is it more serious now, less serious?
Sure. So I believe in the topmost portion, that well 27 had previously been in the 50 to 80% category, and now it's in that 80 to 100% category. So, and radium at well 27 has bounced around quite a bit. It's consistently above 60%, and approaches and occasionally exceeds that MCL benchmark. But the average, or excuse me, the regulatory limit is based on a quarterly average, and the quarterly average is now between that 80 to 100% of the MCL. So that's one change. And then down in the second portion, there's a couple of new additions there. Those are well six and well 16, where previously their sodium concentrations were less than 50%. Now they're above 50% of the SMCL. So yes,
Okay.
there are a few changes.
It may be helpful going forward just to provide a comparison, maybe with the last series of reports, just so we could kind of see a comparison of what it was in the last 6 months versus what it is now. Just a suggestion. The other point, at what point do you have to notify DNR when you have an MCL violation or you're exceeding the MCL?
So, for any required testing, all of the test results are required to be submitted to the DNR, and the lab does that. So the lab electronically reports. So the DNR has Certainly all those test results for that that top box. Although I would say that those radium tests are not required. DNR only requires to test radium once every 3 years. So any of these tests that we've just conducted at Well 27, those have not been reported to the DNR.
Thank you. That's it for me.
Okay. So if there's no other questions, I'll continue with my report. It'd be just very brief to say that this attachment A is a summary. And I think, as I've just explained with Board Member Callisto's guidance, it summarizes our water quality condition and the wells and the contaminants that we are closely monitoring. If you want additional detail, that's in the attachment B, and I would prefer not to walk through or talk through that. I would leave it up to you. If you have questions, I'd be more than happy to address that.
Okay. Questions for Joe? Hi, Alder, go ahead.
Yeah, so I know that you've talked about this before, so I'm just kind of piggybacking on the question. There's just a variety of reasons these numbers would go up and down. If I remember correctly, that you told us maybe last year you had gone into an explanation, or somebody went into an explanation of just the bounce around. So if you could just not do as detail, but like summarize, like in general, this can happen when, you know, something's offline, or you know, there's, I don't know, I can't even put it into the correct water speak, but.
Yeah, sure. So if you're looking at attachment A, there's basically four categories of contaminants that we're looking at, right? So there's VOCs, volatile organic compounds, that's at well 18. There's PFAS, which is similar to VOCs in that it's a synthetic human-made chemical. And then there are iron and manganese, which I often collectively or talk to as a group, and then sodium chloride, which I also talk about in a group. Of those four categories that I just mentioned, VOCs and PFAS can be impacted by the pumping rate of the well. So if we normally pump it at, say, 2,000 gallons a minute, by reducing that pumping, it might lower the contaminant level that we observe. So our well operations can impact VOCs or PFAS, for example. Iron and manganese tend to be pretty stable. The levels we find today are probably going to be the same that we're going to that we found 5 years ago, and we'll probably see 5 years from now. And then lastly, the sodium and chloride, these are contaminants that we're seeing rising at probably five or six of our wells pretty significantly. We already know about the issue at well 14, and we've been trying to address that. We now see that well 6 and well 16 have joined the list for something that we're more closely monitoring. And those are rising because of decades of road salt use in the city of Madison. So does that help?
Okay, thank you. Other questions for Joe? Okay, seeing none, could we have a motion to approve the report? Okay, Charles moves to approve. Do we have a second? Okay, Alder, Latimer Burris, seconds. With that, those in favor of approving the report indicate by saying aye.
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 Any objections, please say nay. Okay. Without objection, then, it is approved. And thank you, Joe. And we are now ready for the item of annual election of board officers. And we have three positions. president, vice president, and secretary. And so I will open the nomination process for president. Deb, do you have a nomination?
Yes, I would nominate Pat Delmore for to continue as president.
Is there a second? Okay, Charles, second. Any other nominations? All those who approve indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
And any objection, please say nay. Okay. The next item is vice president. Nominations, and I would like to nominate Deb Simon. Do we have other, or do we have a second? Charles, a second, okay. Any other nominations? Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
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 And any objections, please indicate by saying nay. Okay, none, okay. Secretary position is currently held by Robbie Abrahamson, and Robbie has indicated to me that he would like to continue to serve in that position. He can't be here tonight, so I would nominate Robbie for that position. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any other nominations? Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any objections, please indicate nay. Okay. All right. We have completed that process, and thank you. Our next item is the Water Production Monthly Report. Joe D., this is one of your last ones, not the very last, but let's have our water report.
Okay, thank you, Pat. For daily production during the month of September 2024, we averaged 27.8 million gallons per day, slightly up, I'd say about a million gallons per day up from last month of August. And in terms of regional surplus then, we had 11.7 million gallons per day surplus, And that would be down about 1 million gallons a day from August. So plenty of water. In terms of year-to-date cumulative production, we're at 6.7 billion gallons. And compared to last year at this time, we were at 7.2. So we're about 7% down from last year. And the reason for that is lots of precipitation. The month of September was very, very wet. We received about 5.2 inches of rain, when on average we'd probably receive about 3 inches of rain. So we're about 2 inches higher in the month of September. In terms of year to date, as of September 30th, we were at 41 inches of rain compared to 28 would be the normal. So we're up 13 inches of rain on average from the average for the month of September. I'm sorry, for year to date at the end of September. So plenty of rain, which drives our pumpage down. In terms of well capacity utilization, we had 3 wells this month that were above 50% capacity. And that's down from 4 last year, so we got rid of one. And we are continuing to work on lowering these numbers to below 50%. So lots of repairs going on, and this kind of drives the utilization of the nearby wells. In terms of remaining drawdown then for the pumps, let's see, we had, I highlighted one well, well 28. We're down to 12 feet of water left in that well above the pumps. And I've added that to the watch list. And for wells, we're still okay, but the adjacent well 26 is out. And so we've been pumping well 28 24/7. And that's really brought the water level down in that well. And so we'll keep an eye on that. We're thinking of maybe diverting some water from an adjacent zone, so that we don't have to run that well quite so much. In terms of overall utilization, the entire system was at about 40%. So plenty of water left for when things get hot and dry. So all in all, a good month. Any questions?
Dan?
I have a question about the remaining drawdown. I don't know that I've seen this where you had something highlighted in yellow before in that column. Is there a number that when you start to watch that, or does it depend on the well?
It depends on the well. Some wells, when the water level drops, it drops very, very quickly. Whereas in other wells, it can stay, it just drops a little bit over time. So this well is one of those that drops very, very quickly. And in the past, we've actually had to shut it down for periods of time and let it recharge. We thought we'd kind of fix that about 5 or 6 years ago. We actually lowered the pump 20 feet, so this is the first time that we've had this small amount of water in this well, I guess, since then. And it's just because we're using it way more than normal. So we'll just continue to watch it, and hopefully it won't be much of a problem. The second thing we can do here is if it does get down to the pump itself, we can slow the pump down. And so instead of pumping, 2,000 gallons a minute, we'll pump, say, 1,400 gallons a minute or whatever. And then the water level will actually rise again. Your drawdown becomes much, much less when you lower the pumpage volume, or the rate, I should say. Does that kind of answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Other questions for Joe? Okay. Seeing none. Thank you, Joe. And for our newest board member, we cluster these reports together and then approve all at the end of the listed reports. So we now have the financial condition report in January.
Hello. Welcome, Curtis. I'm January, and as the finance and admin manager, I'm here to present the monthly financial update. To begin with, I'll start with just the MADCAP data summary as of October 14th. We actually have received over 523 applicants for MADCAP, of which about 66% is approved, and the rest is not approved. The breakdown shows that we have 349 approved, and then about 174 applicants that were not approved, along with 127 households that were enrolled in conservation program. So with that update to MADCAP, I will then go on to our actual financial update. This is as of September 30th, 2024. So year to date, our total revenue, which consists of the sales of water, other revenues and interest income, we're looking at $39 million. We anticipate that by the end of this year, we'll be closer to $54 million in total revenues. For expenditures, we have, as of September, $13.3 million. And about $14 million in debt services, which is interest and principal, and then about $4.8 million for pilot. So total expenditures is $32 million. We are projecting about $46.9 million at the end of this year. This leaves a net operating fund of about $7 million. And with our carryover from prior year, we are anticipating for September, a $16.4 million ending fund balance. Looking at projected 2024, we're at $8.4 million. And that is for our operating fund. We also have construction fund, and we did get our $7.3 million GO bond through the city. And so our total capital revenue, which includes the GO bond, the safe drinking water loan proceeds for Well 15, and expense depreciation, along with a transfer from our operating, we're looking at $20 million as of September. I anticipate by the end of this year, we'll be closer to $26.7 million. Our actual expenditures and encumbrances for our capital consist of pipeline, facility, fleet, and other, and we are looking at a total of $22.6 million. I anticipate that at the end of this year, we'll probably be closer to $27.8 million. That would leave us with the ending fund balance of $2 million for September, or $3.4 million by the end of this year for construction fund. And then we also have on the very last page a summary of our cash reserves and long-term debt. Our total cash and investment is 64 million right now, of which 16.9 million is unrestricted cash. That gives us a 1.58 ratio of numbers of month expenditures covered by our operating reserves. And we also then have a little graph down below that kind of tells us our total debt outstanding. You'll see that in 2024, we are at 186.9 million. With that, is there any questions?
Go ahead. So as a new person, what's MAD cap, that first data you were reporting on? What's that standing for?
That is our 2-year pilot customer assistance program.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So people apply for that and they're accepted in the program or not based on income levels and stuff like that, or?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And Kurt, MAD cap stands for, of course, Madison Customer Assistance Program. And so it does not cover just water, but all other city provided services. So all city services are benefited out of this program.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions for January? Okay, seeing none, thank you, January. We will move on to our capital projects monthly report. And Pete, are you presenting?
I am presenting. Thank you and good evening. For those board members who may be new, I'm Pete Holmgren, the chief engineer at the Water Utility here. So got a few items for our monthly capital projects report. No coincidence it follows the finance report, as a lot of financials also kind of feather into the work we're doing and investing into our infrastructure here. So this month, we'll go through actual expenditures and encumbrances through September, kind of brush through that as January kind of primed those topics. I'll talk about our water main replacement expense depreciation also through September and our overall target for the year where we sit. And then a couple of our notable capital project updates, two major unit well projects underway, unit wells 15 and 19, both water treatment focused projects, and our unit well 12 reconstruction, which we'll get into, but kind of looking ahead into some work upcoming through next year as well. So as January mentioned, the total of 22.6 million plus or minus is running us through September, broken down between facilities, fleet, and pipelines. I've listed some of the kind of notable amounts for the month of September, which was just shy of $600,000. Not surprisingly, our major facilities projects for treatment, wells 15 and 19, were quite a bit of that. A couple other upgrades to other facilities, roof, and our Olin conference room, where we'll be looking to resume these water board meetings by next year. We're also spenders. For fleet, we continue to transition to more electric vehicles. F-150 was a major purchase there in our ongoing hydrant raise, replace, and move program was the other sum there. For pipelines, a couple of major streets, that number is starting to wind down in tandem with the completion of a lot of our public works pipe rehab projects. So tapering down, but still some big ones going on through this fall yet. Expense depreciation, the targeted amount of at least $5 million to invest through that program for pipe replacement. As of September, we project that has been met. So that's great news. We've still got, that's a combination of expenditures and encumbrances. We expect more of those encumbrances to turn into expenditures, but clearly we've hit the target for our infrastructure reinvestment and commitment to the PSC as part of our rate case. So fantastic news. We're looking ahead to next year already with our capital projects being planned, and expect to do the exact same thing with about the same amount. So, as far as our treatment project, Unit Well 19, upcoming work, I think most notably is as we just determined as of next week, we will be shutting down the facility for kind of the next milestone there, which is an important one to hit. So the contractor's going to be getting inside the existing building a little more, doing some work, upgrading our pumps, a lot of our treatment equipment, and building the building addition itself. so that, as of through this week, concludes production at that facility until project is complete later in the summer. Additionally, there's ongoing concrete work to add the backwash tank building additions. There will be some testing related to that. We just processed the first pay request with the contractor, which is often one of the more detailed ones, just to kind of get off on the right foot for how they apply for the pay request. And since they've been under contract since March, actually, it was a pretty substantial one to review. So that was good to get off and get them paid. And then we also, with the project extension, completed a consultant contract extension. SEH is our consultant through 2025 to match the project deadlines. Well 15, ongoing construction. We have another site meeting tomorrow, actually. Structural considerations are kind of the pressing topic right now as they continue to both do removals of kind of the interior to make room for the new treatment tanks, and then also begin to kind of reinforce the tank area. Steel beam installation work has been underway as they encounter some unexpected conditions with columns, footings, etc. We go under structural review and advise on that, but everything is pretty well on schedule for a similar completion date next summer at this point. And then lastly, I just wanted to talk about our Well 12 reconstruction project. I'm not sure what the makeup of the board, if there are any board members when this project had earlier kind of gone through the process. And by earlier, I mean circa 2015 to 2017 was our original kind of design timeline for this project. It was shelved until recently now, and we're looking at starting it up again as we've got funding planned, and we're working with SEH, who previously worked on the project, to kind of update plans and specs with us to get that project ready for hopefully a 2026 start of construction. it's an important facility, and we're hoping to add resiliency to our two-zone configuration there between zones 7 and 8 for more water supply flexibility and resiliency, adding a second booster pump there. And the building itself is in need of physical upgrades. It'll be a complete rebuild of the building, but also code issues such as our chemicals are currently stored right next to the booster pump. They should be put in separate rooms for fluoride, chlorine, etc. So all of that will be coming soon. I'll come back to the board with more information on our consultant contract into next year, what that scope looks like. But here are just some short details as to what to expect. And this is kind of just more to get it back on everybody's radar that it's time to get going with this project again. So looking forward to getting started on that. I attached some interior pictures, sort of what I was talking about. the last slide of pictures is a current view of one isometric of the building, and then our previous kind of proposed concept. So similar footprint and style, but completely redone from the ground up otherwise, with the exception of the well. The well itself will remain. So with that, happy to take questions, comments, discussion.
Questions for Pete?
Pete, one question. What type of PFAS treatment is being placed in the well that was that number 15? No, 9. Yeah, 15.
15, that's correct. It is a combination of granular activated carbon and ion exchange, two parallel trains, we call them, of treatment vessels to virtually eliminate all PFAS in the water that passes through that facility.
Thank you. And just out of curiosity, where's well 12 located?
Oh, sure. It's at the Beltline intersection of South Whitney Way.
Oh,
You're
yeah.
familiar with the West Side, correct? It's
Yep.
kind of across the street from the YMCA over there.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Other questions? Pete, I was on the board when the project was first discussed and shelved as well. Okay. Seeing no other questions, we will go to the operations report and Dan.
Yes, hello. I just want to start by congratulating Joe DeMort on his retirement, and I just want to thank him for all that he's done for the Madison Water Utility and its customers over the years, and wish you the best, bud. So enjoy that retirement. And I'll just move on to the operations report here, and I'll highlight a few things. We have our staff has inspected and performed maintenance on over 3,000 hydrants to date. We've performed over 2,500 flushing runs of the system, and we have completed our hydrant painting for this year, and we're able to paint over 2,000 hydrants while we dodge the rain. Moving on, I just wanted to highlight one other thing was that we have completed working with FERPAL on the pipelining project. We were able to line over a mile of pipe, water main in the system in an area on the east side of town. All the concrete work, anything we removed, blacktop, and dirt ditches have all been completed, and that work is done for the year, which was quite an accomplishment. So just wanted to note that as well. So, does anybody have any questions about any of these numbers?
Questions for Dan? Okay, seeing none. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
On to our public information monthly highlights and Marcus. See.
Appears to be muted.
Don't think he's muted, but we can hear him. Marcus.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Yeah, sorry, I was fighting back and forth. I guess I should have waited for the host to unmute me instead of
All
me
right.
trying
Cool.
myself. Host, are you able to share the report for the board to see? There's just a few pictures in there I'd like everyone to see. If not, I mean, you all have the board report in your packets, so we can go ahead and continue with that. Did want to say congrats to Joe DeMort. Really appreciate you at the utility and all your knowledge. Of course, Joe was his office was right next to mine, and when I started a little bit over 3 years ago, I don't know if I would have made it through without him always giving me the right answers, knowing everything about the system. So whenever there was media inquiries, whenever there was other staff, departmental questions and things like that from city engineering, he was always there to answer those questions for me and make me look good. So really appreciate you, Joe. We're obviously all going to miss you. And yeah, I also want to welcome Curtis as a new board member. Appreciate you. I guess I'll introduce myself. My name is Marcus Pearson, public information officer here to present the public information report, or the water utility highlights, which is, I guess, a more qualitative report, which highlights the recent projects and other involvement in the community by the utility. So as you all likely read in the board report, the water utility staff recently performed maintenance on the pump and motor at Well 6, which is actually our system's oldest well facility. So it was drilled back in 1936, if I'm not mistaken. So Well 6 typically delivers up to over 2,600 gallons per minute. It does have a variable frequency drive, so we can kind of control that remotely depending on what the need is. Getting back to Joe, he always knew exactly kind of where that fine line was. So we really appreciate his work and even getting the variable or the VF D drives in the system. But the well does operate year round and primarily serves the UW campus area in the near West Side neighborhoods. So maybe even over in your neck of the woods, Curtis. But the maintenance crew of Matt Edgren, Dennis McCaslin, Joe Kennedy, Lane Kruzinga, and of course, Kyle Rosemeyer were tasked with conducting a very complex and tireless investigation on the well pump and motor. As Joe Grandy mentioned earlier, Well 6 has experienced decades of road salt contamination. So any of this can kind of create sediments and things like that that can actually, you know, block the passage or you know, kind of mess with the motor and the pump itself. So it's eventually, this investigation eventually led to our team reinstalling every part pretty much of the pump and the motor, and then pieces of the unit, Well 6, basically to repair the broken shaft. So we do actually conduct routine maintenance or at least investigation at every well every 10 years in an effort to clean sediment and other buildup out of the well pump. But this particular project at Well 6 was anything but routine. As I mentioned, it was really complex investigation to really pinpoint exactly what the issue was before you could even fix it. Many utilities probably would have considered drilling a new well when theirs from 1930s suffers issues such as these, but not Madison Water Utility. This complex and vigorous maintenance is not possible without the unmatched skill of our water utility staff. So, you know, with over, and I can say this as a Madisonian my whole life, with over 270,000 residents to serve, you'll very rarely ever catch a business or a home without water service, even for an hour or two. And that really kind of speaks to what I wanted to show here today, and that you can see in your board report. As you can imagine, this sort of maintenance definitely helps prevent future challenges for the utility and our customers by allowing Madison Water Utility to stay consistent with our mission of supplying high quality water for consumption and fire protection at a reasonable cost, which is important, while conserving and protecting our groundwater resource for present and future generations. So all that's very important in the work that our staff, almost 130 of them, do every day out in the community with this invisible kind of infrastructure. Really supports our mission. I do encourage all of you to stay up to date with all things water utility. I usually just show one thing that's going on, but there's several that go on from month to month. You can check out our social media, Facebook, Instagram, and X. And I was going to say, if Jody didn't mind, here you go. Yeah, so you can see this here on the Facebook. So definitely follow us, stay up to date. Jody, who is our social media manager, does a great job, really highlighting all things utility and our kind of commitment and impact on the community. Any questions or comments or anything?
Okay. Questions for Marcus? Okay. Well, thank you, Marcus, for your report. And if we could have a motion to approve the reports that we've just heard by various staff members. Do we, Charles moves to approve. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Deb seconds. And all those in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Seeing none, we go to our meeting evaluation. And Kurt, each month, a board member, moving in alphabetical order, last name does the self-evaluation, and I'm scheduled to do it this week. And first of all members actively participate in discussion, and all members have an opportunity to voice opinions, positions on agenda items. And I think we fully met that. Members come prepared to engage in discussion by reviewing materials prior to the meeting. And I believe that has occurred. Members engage in active listening and avoid interrupting other speakers. And I think we met that. Members offer honest opinion, respect the viewpoints expressed by their members. I believe we fully met that. Members honor the water utility policies and procedures as outlined in the water utility book. I think we met that. Members represent the collective interest of current and future Madison residents. I believe we fully met that. Finally, members make decisions based on equity principles, considering the decision's impact on all residents. The decision-making process considers who benefits, who's burdened, who does not have a voice at the table, how can policymakers mitigate unintended consequences, and I think we have met that. So I would like to thank all board members for being present tonight and your participation. We have one more online board meeting in November, and then we will return to our meeting room at Oland. And I think, Krishna, the construction of that meeting room is on track, and we should be able to hold our January meeting there. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. President.
Okay, good. All right. So with that, do we have a motion to adjourn? Charles, motion, a second.
Before we adjourn, yes. I just wanted to take a second too to welcome Kurt. He has a wealth of knowledge, so we might be picking his brain more than just water utility stuff. So I just wanted to welcome him, and it's always an honor to see him and speak to him, and actually to even have him on this board. So I just wanted to take a time to do that. So with that, hopefully people don't mind a call for adjournment as well.
Okay, thank you. And do we have a second?
I'll second. Thank you, Charles, for those kind words too.
Okay, and without objection, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.